This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome to today's podcast on best practices in employment matters. I'm Lakeisha Barclay, and today we will hear from DeAndra Ritchie, the Director of EEO, Labor and Employment Relations for the City Colleges of Chicago. Welcome, DeAndra.
Thank you.
DeAndra has graciously joined us today to offer tips and advice on how to become an effective manager. I'm super excited to hear what she has to say, so let's just jump right into the questions. First question, DeAndra, what would you say are the top three qualities or skills needed to be an effective manager?
Yeah, so I think three qualities and skills needed to be an effective manager. Just to start off, first, I think communication skills. Second, I think, being responsive and being proactive. And then third, I think being creative with your approach to managing. So I'll address each in turn. First, communication skills. The ability to effectively communicate the department's or the organization's expectations and needs to employees in a way that clearly conveys, what those expectations are and that the employee can understand are critical. So a lot of times I think managers get frustrated when they aren't kind of getting the work product from their employees that they want, or let's say the particular behavior from their employees that they might want to see. But then oftentimes, in my experience, I often don't see that the manager has clearly conveyed those expectations to the employees. So I always like to say, people can't give you what you want if they don't know what you want. So I think the key is to, be able to be an effective communicator. And it's not just saying, what your needs are clearly. It also needs to be said in a way that can be understood by the employee. A best practice that I always share is that after having meetings or discussions with employees, it's really great to document what was discussed, whether that's in an email or a memo. I think having something written is good so that, if you do have a meeting with the employee where you are kind of saying, here's what I, would like to see happen, to put it in writing, it gives the employee something to reference down the road. And then it just documents that you've had that conversation. And I think documentation is always a great thing. That way, too, the employee doesn't have room to say, I didn't know, you never told me, or I forgot. So again, communication, I think, is key. The second quality or skill I think needed to be an effective manager is to both be responsive and to be proactive. So as far as being responsive, I always advise when there are issues, when they arise, to address them right away. So you don't want to kind of, have an employee, doing some behavior that you don't like and then 3 months later bring it up. I always say nip it in the bud. As soon as you see it, address it. It's kind of like CTA. If you see something, say something. The other thing is, if you don't respond to that bad behavior or you don't address it, you're just enabling that behavior to continue. Additionally, if you don't let the employee know that there is an issue, they don't know that there is one, and so they're going to think that this behavior is fine. So again, I think sometimes people, hope that an issue will just kind of go away by ignoring it, the so-called, putting your head in the sand, hoping that the issue will resolve itself. I can assure you that it won't. It will not resolve itself. It never does. And so, being responsive and addressing the issue is key. Additionally, the second component of that, I think, is being proactive. Don't wait for things to become a problem. If you can kind of see, behaviors that are starting up that aren't really aligning with the department's goals, go ahead and set out what those expectations are even before the problem arises. It's totally, acceptable and fine to be proactive and to not wait for something to develop into a problem. And I think the third quality or skill that I would say for being an effective manager is to have a creative approach to managing. I like to say, one size doesn't fit all. As a manager, you have to be able to meet employees where they're at. And part of that is determining the most effective communication that the employee will receive. Because if I'm effectively communicating my needs, but the employee isn't understanding that, then that's not effective communication, and I'm not really managing the employee well. So I think it's, being creative and kind of understanding that you know, employees have different personalities, they have different needs, they have different skill sets and different abilities that they're bringing to the table, and to take each of those into consideration. You know, there's a myriad of employees, and as I like to say, there's a myriad of ways to handle them. And so those are some of the things that the top three skills I think needed to be an effective manager.
And those are all great skills, and I agree with you on all of those. It's interesting because, as you were saying, you have to deal with different employees in different ways because personality differences or whatever. But as a manager, you have to be able to implement your policies equally across the board. So as someone who coaches managers, what advice do you give them and give them on ways to best implement policies equally and fairly?
That's a great question. And, you know, sometimes it, you know, that sounds kind of more daunting than sometimes it has to be. I think the first thing is to be transparent with your employees. Probably the first thing, actually, I would say is implementing policies equally and fairly. I think I would change the word equally to be more equitably. So here's a good example. Let's say you have a work from home policy, and James is the receptionist, and Brenda is your IT manager. And Brenda has the ability to work from home, and James doesn't, and James thinks that that's unfair. If there's a work from home policy, why am I not able to use it? Well, because James is the receptionist, and we're counting on James to be our front, you know, desk person to greet clients and, you know, to have that face-to-face interaction. It's not really conducive for James to work from home, given the nature of his role. So that's why I would say think about implementing policies equitably and fairly, because again, as I was saying before, one size doesn't fit all. And there might be one aspect of the policy that works well for some job families that maybe don't work as well for other job families, like the example I just gave. So I always kind of caution, you know, fair doesn't mean exactly the same. It's really more about equity. And it's also about taking into consideration, you know, that there's different employees and capabilities. And, you know, I think that it's really about balancing the needs of the organization with the needs of the manager's particular department, with the needs of the manager's employee. There's kind of a lot going on there. Now, what I will say is that if you do differentiate, for example, like our work from home policy, it's necessary that you can back it up with a solid business reasoning. And so I would always caution managers to focus on the business reason and not the individual employee. So with our, you know, James versus Brenda, I think that was the name that I gave earlier. You know, for example, James can't work from home because he's a receptionist, but Brenda can, you know, because of the nature of her job. And, you know, the differentiation there is because of the difference in the job versus someone saying, well, I don't want James to work from home because he doesn't seem to work very hard at work, whereas Brenda works really hard at work, and so I trust her to work from home more. That would not be implementing the policy fairly or equitably. So I think the biggest takeaway from this question is, you know, focus on being equitable and fair, and then also to the extent you do need to differentiate between employees, be able to back it up with the business reason and not back it up with focusing on the individual employee.
That's great. Yeah, I agree with you. So the employee doesn't take it personal, doesn't feel like it's a personal thing, but it's an actual business decision.
I mean, but that's also kind of why I start off saying kind of be transparent too, mm-hmm. is because a lot of times when employees perceive differences, oftentimes what we'll do is we'll create kind of the worst case scenario in our heads. Well, you know, my boss isn't letting me work from home because she doesn't like me because she thinks I'm incompetent. But it might just be that, you know, based on what I do, my boss may need me here in the office to do face-to-face, client-facing tasks. So I think that's why I kind of said be transparent, too, to the extent that the policies are implemented slightly differently, to just tell the employees why. I think it's better than letting them jump to their own conclusions.
Yeah, you're right. That is perfectly fair. So the next topic I wanted to jump on really quick is discipline. What are the main things a manager needs to take into consideration when it comes to disciplining an employee?
So there's a lot to consider. And I mean, the first thing is, you know, do you have union employees or are these non-bargain for employees? You know, with union employees, of course, you're going to have to consult the collective bargaining agreement and, you know, follow progressive discipline. But even then, you know, there can be some wiggle room, you know, with non-bargain for employees or, you know, just regular at-will employees. I think the considerations are the same, but I'm just noting if there's union employees, you are a little more constricted due to the collective bargaining agreement. Some of the considerations I would look at would be, you know, the egregiousness of the behavior. Is there a pattern of conduct that this employee is displaying? Has there been prior discipline? You know, what is the past practice? And I bring this up, and it is sort of union related, but also not. Because sometimes between departments, you see that people are disciplined differently. So perhaps in payroll, you know, Jennifer gets 3 tardies in a month and no one says anything. And then, you know, in marketing, Samantha gets 3 tardies and then she gets a written warning. So there's kind of not really great consistency there between the departments. So, you know, I would also say to kind of look at past practice. If you can see that your organization, you know, typically doesn't discipline, let's say for 3 tardies in a month, you know, you might not want to be the rogue manager going out there and doing that. Or if you do, you know, you might want to run that by senior leadership. But I would say before even considering whether to discipline, I always say this, and, you know, I ask people this, has there been a coaching session? And what I mean by that is a meeting with the employee to, again, discuss what the issues are and to relay what the expectations are, you know, from the manager. Because I often don't find, you know, starting off with discipline without having the discussion first, it just doesn't seem to be effective. So I think it's really important to start off with having what I would call a coaching session, where you, again, some people call like a level set meeting, where you just kind of baseline, here's what's happening, here's what I need to happen, you know, here's what I would like to see moving forward, and then give the employee the time to correct that behavior. And then, of course, if they don't, then you'll want to move along to discipline. But, you know, I always tell people, you know, the goal shouldn't be to start with discipline. It should really be to have an active and engaging discussion with the employee, addressing the issues, and again, laying out the expectations so that the employee actually can comply. And if the employee has no, you know, if they're just not going to comply at all, you will see that and they will continue to engage in the same behavior. And then you can just, you know, move to discipline. You know, I also tell people, with at-will employees, I think some people get a little uncomfortable with issuing discipline and feel like, oh, well, if there's an issue, you know, we should just terminate them. That's not really cost effective all of the time. I mean, it would depend on what the employee was doing. But, you know, I would say, again, I would start with the discussion and see where the employee goes from there. And then based on, you know, the egregiousness of the behavior or a pattern of conduct, then, you know, discipline from there. I also tell people, don't necessarily try to start out at the highest level of discipline. You know, I like to say that discipline should be more corrective in nature than punitive. At the same time, then if an employee comes to work and, you know, slaps their manager in the face, I would encourage you to probably terminate them. You know, some things are just not acceptable. But, you know, tardies or kind of, you know, performance issues, I think that those, you know, can be worked with.
Definitely. Those are all really, really good points. Before we wrap up, just really quickly, do you have any quick tips for first-time managers?
Real quick, I would say, you know, be patient. You know, managing people is a skill, and it's something that takes time and practice. Be flexible. Again, you know, people's needs change. You're going to kind of need to adapt to the employee and to what the business's needs are. So be flexible. And then finally, I would just say, again, be responsive. Address the issues. Don't ignore them. And, you know, be willing to have the conversation with the employee so that they can correct their behavior and that, you know, you as a manager can get from the employee what you need.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for all of that great advice you just gave us. I can't wait until I'm a manager so I can put that into action.
Be careful what you wish for.
I know, right? But it looks like we are out of time, and I want to thank you again, DeAndre, for taking the time to come and discussing this with us. Your advice was wonderful. It was great. And I hope everyone who listens to this takes something from it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I enjoyed myself.
No problem. I enjoyed doing it. It was wonderful. And yeah, I hope everyone gets something from it because we all hate bad managers.
Right.
And so hopefully these tips are useful to the current managers out there, or the ones who are seeking to become managers.
But yeah, I hope so.
Thank you again for taking the time to speak with us.
Yes, you're so welcome.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.